Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Welcome to our service for morning prayer today. You're all welcome to join us and it's good to have you with us. We're going to start now by singing a hymn. It may be unknown to you, the words, but I think you will recognise the tune. It's a great new song of praise. It's called, O God Beyond All Praising. We come now to our time of confession. Let's take a moment to consider the week that we've had and the things that we've done and the things that we want to say sorry to God for. Lord God, we have sinned against you and have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the God of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his service, in the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you remember, we've decided to take the readings from the lectionary, which follow the continuous story of God's people in the books of Samuel in the Old Testament. This is where we've got to so far. After their wanderings to the Promised Land in the time of Moses, the Israelites were then ruled by a series of judges, the last of whom was the prophet Samuel. At this time, the people of God became quarrelsome and unhappy with their situation. They said, "We want to be like the other nations around." And they demanded a king. A man called Saul was crowned the first king of Israel. But soon afterwards, he was rejected because he failed to follow God's leadership. Samuel, led by God, went and chose and anointed the shepherd boy David to be the next king. Saul was unaware that this had happened, but David was accepted by the people because he was a good warrior. And King Saul became jealous of him, and this jealousy led to hatred and bitterness. And he attempted to kill David on several occasions, and David had to flee for his life. However, David had become great friends with King Saul's son, Jonathan. And that kind of complicated things. David did recognize that Saul was the man anointed by God as king. So we come to today's Bible reading, which tells us of the death of Saul and Jonathan and how David mourned their loss.
Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, "The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How have the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, that there the shield of the mighty is finally cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughter of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How had the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain upon thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How had the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished."
When he heard of the death of King Saul and Jonathan his son, David tore his clothes. He mourned, he fasted, he wept, grieving for both of them. Although he'd almost been killed by King Saul on several occasions, David still grieved his loss. It seems strange. You would have thought that he would rather rejoice that his enemy had finally been killed. Mourning his friend Jonathan was understandable, and many of us know what it's like to feel sad when a good friend dies. But an enemy? David had a heart that was God-centered. Remember when he was chosen as king at the home of his father Jesse, God said, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." And David's heart was good He chose to focus on the good which had been lost to Saul, rather than the fact that this was a man who tried to destroy him. So David writes this lament: "Your glory, O Israel, lay slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen." The lament, the poem, was very personal from David, but it was not private. David wanted it to be written down and remembered as part of the history of God's people. In a way, who better to do this than David, writer of many of our psalms? Seems to me a little bit like our own poet laureates who write about significant times in the life of our nation. The lament invites all the people of Israel to share in the grief caused by the death of the king and the young prince Jonathan. It gives direction for the sorrow of the nation. There are times when we as a nation come together to mourn. I think the most recent, of course, would be the death of Prince Philip, when so many people's hearts went out to support and grieve alongside the royal family. I think there are other times when there is a corporate grief too. When we hear about genocide, when we remember the Holocaust, when we hear of people dying for their faith or the faith of others. For most part, though, in our country, in the West generally, grieving tends to be a more private affair, a family affair. I sometimes wonder if we should be more open with one another and share in our sadness. When I was in Ethiopia, I remember how important funerals were and still are. They were much more community events. Family members would be told very sensitively about the death, and that was often when somebody had gathered the whole family together. When someone died, the neighbourhood would grieve. A small marquee would be erected at the house, in the garden maybe. People would gather to comfort the family. There would be crying and wailing, beating of chests, beating of foreheads. The neighbours would organise the provision of food and all the practical necessities. There would be at least 3 days of mourning before the funeral, and then the wearing of dark clothes by close family members for many days and many months and sometimes years after the funeral. That grief process is very open and very raw. I wonder if that's what David thought he should be like. He was very open and dramatic in his mourning. Now, please don't think that I'm saying that we in the West don't have the same depths of feelings as others. I just think it's interesting how we express our grief in different ways. Death, of course, is a very natural part of being human. We all have a finite earthly life. We've all been through a torrid time this last year, and many of us have lost someone close. I hope that we feel that our churches are places where death can be faced and grief and loss voiced, places where we can support one another. We're going to listen now to the gospel reading. And this too is about two people who are potentially facing imminent death. But listen carefully, there is a happier ending.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
This is a wonderful story of how Jesus restored a rather brave lady who had the faith and the wisdom to recognize that Jesus could heal her, and the courage to speak out and acknowledge her actions. It also tells of a man who also had the faith to believe that Jesus was the one who could restore his daughter to health. And of course, he did much more than that when it came to it. He restored her life. Here is a promise of resurrection, which we as Christians can look forward to. Today's readings reinforce for us the undeniable reality that suffering is not unique to us or to our times. Personal illness, pain, and loss in our families can cause us to lose hope. Sometimes we feel that we're alone in our pain, but we believe in a God who loves us and desires wholeness for us, a God who is with us in all the circumstances of life and beyond our earthly life, to when we ourselves will meet him in glory. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. Wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross.
Behold the man upon a cross. My sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
We join together in the words of the Creed. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, dear Lord, for this world, this wonderful creation of yours. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to take care of it, to steward it as you intended, dear Father. To remember that every part of it belongs to you, not us. And to treat it as we would anything of great value of yours. We pray, Lord, that you will help all nations and all peoples to look after your planet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all leaders of this world, both great and small. And we pray, Lord, that they would listen to you, that they would look after their people properly, Lord, and not seek to increase their own wealth or power. We pray, Lord, that they would look for your guidance, and having found it, follow it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are affected by disasters, both natural and man-made. We pray, Lord, for all the people affected by the building collapse in Florida. And we pray, Lord, for all who have nowhere to live because their home is destroyed by war. And we pray, dear Father, for those who suffer from this terrible pandemic. We pray, Lord, for those who mourn, for those who need healing. And we pray too, Lord, for all those who look after people who suffer. Doctors, nurses, cleaners, porters, and all other people that are needed. We pray, Lord, that soon you will help this pandemic to come to an end. And we pray, Lord, for all those who mourn. We pray, Lord, for the health of those who have long COVID and for those who still suffer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for those in this country who do not have enough to live on or who have no home. We pray, Lord, for those who come from another land, who have come with nothing and now seek to start a new life. And we pray for all those who are helping them to do so. We pray for those who sleep on the streets, and we pray for all those who are helping them to turn their lives around, Lord, and to find somewhere to live and something to live for. And I pray particularly, Lord, for no second night out and for safe space. And Lord, we pray for those who are trying to help all those who have no work or do not have enough to live upon or who are in debt. And I pray, Lord, for the Jubilee Project and also, Lord, for the food banks of Derby. And I pray, Lord, for all people who need and use all these services, for those who work for them and those who volunteer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I pray, Lord, for those who are sick that are known to us. I pray, Lord, for their healing. I pray they may get any procedures that they need. I pray they may not have long to wait. I pray, Lord, for their health, for the care of them. And I pray, Lord, that your healing love is over all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And I pray, Lord, for all those who mourn. Pray for those who have lost loved ones, to grieve their parting. I pray, Lord, that you will send your comfort upon them, Lord, and give them the strength that they need.
We bring our prayers together now in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Our final hymn is Now Thank We All Our God. Thank you for being part of our service today. And now as we go into the coming week, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.